In the studio with me, the president and CEO of the Lexington Legends, Andy Shea, is hanging out. Hey, Andy, how are you, buddy?
Good, man. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks for coming in. This has been something I wanted to talk to you about for a little bit when I first heard about it, because I wanted to understand what it is, what's the projections, what's the plans and all of that, because as I stated earlier, I have seen this work, but of course there's a lot of obstacles and hurdles in the way. But what I wanted to talk to you about, because it's been mentioned that you guys or somebody's been thinking about a new ballpark, and that would be located downtown.
Yep, you got it. I mean, that's, you know, so the fun thing for me has been, I've lived in Lexington for about 13 years now. I've worked for the Legends since 2005, but I've heard all the stories back then and even recently about 20 years ago when so many of the people in the community were trying to get the ballpark downtown then and trying to have the ballpark right behind or right next to Rupp Arena and really create that entertainment and that sports district that you've seen is so successful in so many other markets, whether it's a market as large as Philadelphia or something like Fort Wayne or Columbus, Ohio. I mean, you see it work all over the place. So that is our goal, and I think that's what's best for the city as well as the health of the Legends.
The example I gave earlier, because I've been there when I go do comedy, is Dayton, Ohio, which is very close proximity to downtown, so patrons going to and from the ballpark spill out into restaurants and bars. And I know they've got a really successful product up there with the Dragons.
Man, you are spot on. Between Dayton, Greenville, South Carolina, and Fort Wayne, Indiana, those are two of the best examples for a market like us and our geographic region, as well as our demographics and size. And that's the whole goal, is that it's part of an entire experience for the people, that they get a chance to go to a restaurant, then a game, and then go home, or go to the game, go to a bar, and then go home, or go to a restaurant, go to the game, stay at a hotel, you know, and enjoy the entire night in downtown.
Because right now, you don't really have that. At the Whitaker Bank Ballpark.
Right now, 99.9% of our fans, exactly, 99.9% of our fans do not walk to the game from their office, from their home, from a restaurant, from a bar, from anything. Yeah. So it's not part, it is a destination spot. And, you know, from an economic standpoint, that doesn't give Lexington the economic impact that it would if it was right downtown.
All right, so what if you guys got a location? What are you talking about? How do we pay for it? You're going to put the taxpayers on the hook for this? Is that what your plan is, Andy? Because they're not going to be happy about it.
Well, so here, so there's a couple things, a couple answers with that. So one, just in general, downtown. That's the funnest part, but the most challenging part of the location, because, you know, there isn't exactly 7 to 10 acres just screaming for a ballpark current day. Mm-hmm. So in any event, that's part of the fun and the challenging part. The payment part, so to back up 20 years, we are still literally the only 100% privately funded baseball stadium in the country. Mm-hmm. We are the only professional sports stadium that is 100% privately financed, privately funded, and has been since day one.
Good.
So that's something that we have that no one else can say. That said, as we move forward, if it's a public-private partnership, that's what makes sense. And that's how all of these other places, like Dayton, like Greenville, like Fort Wayne, work. And it's, again, it's never us coming with our hand out, but it's let's work together to benefit the city.
So you can make those projections, but let me tell you what the critics are going to say, Andy, because you can go around some of these places where they did these partnerships, and then the business side of it either pulled up stakes or they defaulted, and then the city's left holding the bag on a lot of those properties. And you've seen that even in the major league level. Or, of course, we watch NFL teams move all the time.
NFL teams? I mean, heck, in the NBA, New Orleans, I mean, they were just about bankrupt and run by the NBA until they were sold, which on a side note, I don't know how they had any leverage to sell that when they're bankrupt. But, right. Hey, you know, there's only 30 NBA teams, so I guess that's your value in itself. But in any event, I mean, that's, you know, that's something that, again, we've discussed, that we've talked about, that we understand and everything. But, again, it's that, you know, public-private partnership where, again, you know, we wouldn't get off scot-free, where we've got the hook, both in terms of the upfront infrastructure and investment, as well as on the annual basis, on the debt service and everything else. So that's where, you know, it really does make sense, and how these other cities and markets and baseball teams and sports teams have thrived.
So, I mean, are there, and I don't know that you can, or you're privy to even speak of, but are there places that you've kind of speculated or looked at downtown that we can go? You know, the ballpark would be great right here. I mean, you said close to Rupp Arena, so I'm thinking over there in Cox Street. But again, we may have plans for that, for the park. Would that, could it be part of that town branch development? What's
it certainly could be, especially when you look at all the development that's going there, when you look at how cool and fun and vibrant the distillery district is. You know, that really whole... And
what
then,
about the distillery district? I mean, it's not exactly downtown, but there's enough life down there, and there's more to come, I know of.
The vibrancy would be absolutely amazing. And then the thing that's funny, too, is that, yes, it's certainly it's easy and it's fun and it makes sense to concentrate on the Rupp Arena side. But then, you know, you look at the other side of downtown as well and expand out that way. And you start seeing the restaurants like Carson's, like Gus's Fried Chicken, like the development that's going up there. And the thing that's cool for Lexington's standpoint is that it's expanding that direction as well. So that's part of what we want to be a part of, and it really helps stimulate, is the growth of the footprint of downtown. Because it's not that long ago where you would look at the footprint of downtown and it was, what, a street or two,
yeah,
a block or two.
It was the festival market between 8 and 7.
Exactly. So now you look at it, and it's already starting to organically expand, and I genuinely very much think that with a ballpark, that would stimulate that growth and expansion tremendously.
The thing I think you need as far as the selling point, too, is, of course, the legends being the home team, but then you'd have an outdoor venue that could do outdoor concerts, that could do high school baseball, that could do any sort of other, whether it's baseball or some sort of an outdoor event that would attract a lot of people as well. I think that, you know, you got an outdoor venue that you don't have downtown right now.
Absolutely. And, I mean, that's what, you know, one
because
of the things...
Because you guys are utilizing your ballpark now for various things. But so, I mean, that's got to be a selling point, right?
Absolutely. And, I mean, but where we're at right now, I mean, it's almost semi kind of on an island where they don't really get a chance to go and experience everything else that's going on downtown and
right.
in Lexington.
Yeah, but here's the other thing, Andy, the critic's going to say, too. Okay, well, yeah, nobody's in walking distance, but nobody's really in walking distance of downtown either. You got to park someplace. There's more to do downtown, but where do you park?
One of the parking spaces. No, I'm just joking. No, but, I mean, that's something here, in all seriousness, that is the first thing that people have always brought up with me, and I understand that completely. So, first of all, that is part of the bigger plan, for sure, whether it's something that exists right now or not. But the other thing that, you know, I think Lexington has already got a jump start on over the last few years, but it's really starting to, in a sense, market where the parking spaces are. Because I think that's one thing that with multiple parking garages or service parking lots being managed by different companies, they don't really talk together. It's not branded well. There isn't the signage, so forth and so on. Because that's something that I found out big time in Greenville, South Carolina, where it has the parking just branded, marketed, and clear as day where you can park, at what time, so forth and so on. The second part of that is that when you think about that, what, 90% of our events are 7 o'clock or, you know, at 7 o'clock, we'll call it that, or game time. So you've got to figure that 50% at least of the parking spaces that might not be here during the day will be there at night.
Yeah.
So when you start factoring in how to really, you know, work all together, there is the infrastructure and the parking spaces for us already. When you look at, you know, there are 20,000 people that come to a UK basketball game or 20,000 plus people that come to other UK events or, that are downtown. We need 7,500 people. So there is a way, and it takes a handful of people working together, but it is there.
Now, what about across the way where that, what is that thing called? The Kraken, the Kevorkian, I don't know, supposed to be some sort of epic IMAX theater that is, they've had that sign up for, what, 5 years now that's never being developed. You know, we always bash Centerpoint, but we never talk about that thing.
Yep.
You know, there's a place you could put a ballpark.
I think whether
that's
it's
right across the street from Rupp Arena.
Whether it's there or whether it's in conjunction with that, you know, if that development where it is, I don't know the first, you know, thing about where they're at today. But whether it's there or in conjunction with that, I mean, again, you talk about the vibrancy and the entertainment that would create. That'd be amazing. Every Thursday in the spring and in the summer, Lexington would be the most fun, greatest place to be in the state of Kentucky with Thursday Night Live, with Legends Game, and everything going on at the ballpark. So
we would take the title from Irvin.
Well, you know what? I guess it's I don't have any analytics to back that up, but yeah,
I don't know
to
if you've been
so.
To Estill County on a Thursday night.
You know, all too many. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. News Talk 590 WVLK live with Lee, 253-5959 or star 590 on the AT&T wireless or 877-777-0590. We're talking with the president and CEO of the Lexington Legends, Andy Shea, about the proposal. And it's not an official proposal, is it, Andy? I mean, this is more of a conversation. How close are you guys into advancing this initiative?
You know what? That's difficult and challenging to say. I mean, I think that there's a lot of interest. I think that there's a lot of, you know, appreciation for how much it would expand that downtown footprint and the vibrancy and economic impact. But,
nice.
You know, there's a lot of puzzle pieces, too, which, again, you know, very fun as well as the challenging part and a lot of work and a lot of people working together.
Yeah. Well, the main question, where and how do you pay for it? I mean, there's two basic questions, right?
Yep, exactly.
All right, let me get to Earl. He's been holding the longest. Cool. Hello, Earl. You're on Live with Lee. Welcome to the show.
Let's take the Lyric Theater, the Kentucky Theater. Those are both owned by government, and they're what? How many home games do you have a year?
We have 70 home Legends games.
We have 365 days a year. If we're going to build a stadium, new stadium for 72 games and use tax dollars, no way in hell. Dodger Stadium was built with you know the O'Malley family. Look at Texas Cowboys Stadium, the new one. That's all by Johnson or
Jones.
Jones. There's no way in hell we're going to pay for a stadium for 72 games a year. No way. That just doesn't make logic.
Is there one chance, just a little chance, you want to pay for it, Earl?
No way in hell.
Well, so there are a couple. If you
very
mind,
minor league baseball.
Well, so for one, it's 70 home games, but then we have roughly 7,500 extra events with that. So then that, and then what that entails is roughly 400,000 bodies that come through the facility. So I certainly understand where you're coming from. And again, as I've said, we're not asking for a completely taxpayer, publicly funded facility. Just looking at the different models and structures of what have worked and what have truly grown the economy and the economic impact in other markets.
What about tax breaks?
That's something. Hey, listen, I'm good with.
You don't take any money from me,
right?
But maybe through some sort of construct with the deal, you guys don't have to pay taxes on some sort of, I don't know, whatever it may be, property for the first 10, 15 years, whatever it is to get you up and running.
Potentially something like that, for sure. Absolutely.
But then, if you do like those other baseball weasels, Andy, where then 15 years you go, well, we're leaving, we're going to go to Knoxville or something like that, now I'm going to come looking for you.
I hope you do, because, yeah, I mean, what the kind of industry norm is now is at least 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean, then that's just,
wait,
yeah,
wait,
I mean,
wait,
heck,
what
if you could
mean
make
30?
It 100.
What's 30 years? The deal? Or?
Right, with the city, so that, hey,
so
you're
going to
be
go
here.
Anywhere.
Correct, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. All right, let me get to, I think it's Fred, who's next. Hello, Fred. You're on Live with Lee.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm not quite anti like that previous caller was, but I do have a lot of questions about how you pay for it and where you'd have a venue with parking, because you put it in a Cox Street lot, there goes all the parking. But I do like the fact that you may have an outdoor venue for amphitheater or for concerts someplace downtown, but you get the parking problem. But Andy mentioned 400,000 people coming if he has 150 events downtown, so he's talking about averaging more than 2,000 per event. And, you know, I used to be a season ticket holder for the Legends, but my experience, I think the Legends attendance has gone down considerably over the past few years. Am I not right?
I wouldn't call it considerably, especially over the last few years. I mean, we're about 10% up from this last year. If you go back to the 2001 to 2005 days, I can't answer that one factually off the top of my head. The second part of that is, though, is that our non-Legends events have significantly gone up. So the term that we use in the facility industry, I guess, is butts in seats. So the overall butts in seats actually has gone up significantly. I can speak over to the 13 years that I've worked with the Legends, because when you factor in the 50,000 plus for Red, White, and Boom now, plus the 5,000 or so for the Lexington Philharmonic show that we're going to have, the 25,000 or so for the high school state tournament, which is now 16 teams versus the 4 and then 8 that it used to be, the overall butts in seats for the 365 days a year is up.
Well, it seems like somebody needs to finance an independent study to show the financials of it, because I've seen several independent studies, and unfortunately, they say that when you get government involvement in something like this, it very seldom ever benefits the taxpayers in the long run. So, finance your study. Good luck to you. I'm not as skeptical as the first guy, but I think there's a whole lot of questions about being answered by our city fathers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Fred. He's not wrong about public financing for athletic or sports endeavors when it comes to facilities, because I've seen that. And it's not a pretty picture across the American landscape where, you know, the taxpayer ends up on the hook. So, but Andy, again, I love the fact that if we had a ballpark downtown, I'm in your camp with that. I get the benefit of that. I just don't know how you pay for it.
Yep.
So we got to figure that out. Now, do you have people that are interested that would like a piece of this action that would go, yeah, let me help you guys out? And
absolutely. And I haven't even been soliciting it. But, I mean, you know, once the kind of first story semi-hit, you know, I mean, there was just a lot of excitement. And that's, you know, again, the fun part for me has been hearing about where that excitement and those people were 20 and 25 years ago as well. You know, I mean, a very common expression that I've heard is miss the boat. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I feel like I've heard that probably 50 plus times about 20, 25 years ago, playing in the ballpark, bringing minor league baseball, professional baseball to Lexington, Kentucky.
What would happen to the old ballpark? What, have you guys run that scenario yet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there are a handful of people that are interested in everything. You know, so the thing that's a funny hypothetical for you, please, hypothetical.
Okay.
Hypothetical.
We're dreaming here.
Yes. Yeah. Is what's the difference between a privately owned and a publicly owned stadium with the team leaving?
Right.
So, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, I get what you're saying, and that's not, you know, again. So that's where, again, it's the whole thing of everyone being in on it together, and this is a benefit to the city.
Right. So your scenario is if, not you guys, but if a team, if they purchase the land, they build a ballpark, all privately funded, and then they get a better offer from some city, they can just go. Because there's no construct in the deal that you got to stay, and so you're left with a vacant lot, essentially.
Right. So that's where I'm going with that is that I don't want anyone to worry about that.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that could happen, you know, again, theoretically in every market, every year, whatever, if they don't have the penalties, the deal in place and everything. And again, that's 100% our commitment and what we've been looking at.
And then
they
would have to, the city, they would have to go, what are we going to do? Because then they could sell that or...
Yep, exactly. They're guaranteed
the zoning.
Team.
There's zoning in there that, you know, you couldn't just sell it to anybody, I would imagine. So the city would have... You're right, that's a headache, but I don't know if that's a big a headache as
the dollars and cents.
If they foot the bill and then it either goes away or defuncts or defaults,
yep.
and now they've got an empty lot and they're a big bill that they're paying for.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the whole expression cash is king, the dollars and cents part always matters more. But, you know, I mean, again, that's what the whole, again, the fun part is of just working together with everyone and what makes best sense for everyone.
Well, again, I would love for you guys to get that spot right over there where they're supposed to build that IMAX thing, because they have nothing, not one shovel. Not anybody has. Occasionally they mow it. That's it.
Yep.
Take that thing, and then, man, that's right catty corner from Rupp Arena. How cool would that be?
I think it'd be awesome. I think that, you know, again, just the...
Because then wherever you park for Rupp, you'd park for the same place as for a ball game.
Spot on. Exactly.
Or an event a Philharmonic or concert, whomever you bring in. And the other thing is, I think it'd be easier to sell the venue to artists if you're downtown, as an outdoor venue.
I think so. From a grandioso perspective, I absolutely think so. You know, I mean, that said, I take tremendous pride. I'd be willing to bet that Luke Bryant would not play at a single other minor league ballpark in the country, but he's playing at our place in 1 month from today, actually. because of the, you know, the relationships and the networks and everything that we have built up over the years. But I think it would just give us that much more opportunity to expand. You know, the other one that we've been looking at, excuse me, that Louisville has, that Cincinnati has, and that plenty of other markets have now is professional soccer. You know, I mean, if we're able to have a venue that...
Could you make it multi-purpose like
yep.
that?
Actually, ironically, Boise, Idaho is going through that right now.
Yeah.
Where you have it set up where it's not necessarily, you know, trying to fit a soccer field onto a baseball field. It's a multi-purpose facility that the architects, and I'm sure it's the most fun that they could have designing that, where everyone can use it together.
Yeah. Because that is the big issue in Cincinnati, what to do right now. Because the soccer team
yep.
is outselling the Reds.
No, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Of course, the Reds don't have the best product at the moment. But who would have thought that 20 years ago that a Major League Soccer team is out, or would eventually, whatever they got now as far as soccer, is
yeah.
selling more tickets than the Reds.
It's wild. I mean, they are outrageously popular. And I know that the team in Louisville is outrageously popular as well.
Yeah. Oh. All right, well, again, Andy Shea, thank you, sir, for coming in
appreciate
and sharing.
It, man.
Keep us up to date on it, and if there's a way we can help you without getting into my wallet, I'd be glad, I'd be glad
All right,
to do
cool.
it.
All right, cool. Sounds good.
All right, Andy Shea
appreciate
from
it.
The Lexington Legends. Thank you, buddy.